I'm going to bring chicken pot pie, right? Chicken pot pie. Pastor Aaron and I were on the front row. Marie calendars. We could do like the British have pies. Did you know that? Like they have like all kinds of crazy pies over there. They have like savory pies, chicken pot pies. They have mince pies, all kinds of stuff. Like Stephen Kaiser, his favorite pie is blueberry pie, right? And then I have this like tweaked version, this blueberry goat cheese and basil. I know, weird, but super good. So this whole pie thing has lots of potential to it. Give your neighbor a high five, say bring a pie. Okay, I felt that resounding, enthusiastic, energized. Woo, she's excited. Okay, and of course we have a joke. Did you hear about the bed bugs who fell in love? They're getting married in the spring. The bed bugs, spring. I know, right? It's just phenomenal. Okay, we'll get on with the message because I can sense lots of eager anticipation. So if you didn't get your notes, they're just outside the door there, the yellow notes here. And we're continuing our series on conversations with God. And I really am very, very, very happy about this series because I just think it's very relevant. No matter if you're watching online, wherever you're at, whatever season you're at in life, all of us can and do and need to have conversations with God. And you can be, you just messed up like awful, just totally lost the plot and made horrible decisions, and you can have a conversation with God. Adam did that. The very first time God had a conversation with man was after man totally messed up. Right? It was conversation. And it wasn't condemnatory or accusational or what a loser. God wanted to communicate, converse. Where are you? That's what God said. And as we've looked at various individuals in the Bible, today we're going to look at two women. And I'm really happy to look at these women because up to this point, we've had all men. So we've had David, we've had Cain, we've had Moses, we've had Abraham, we've had Adam, we've had Job, and it's been pretty male heavy, which is fine, no problem there. But I think it's helpful to us to see a conversation with God, but also in female, from a female point of view version, because I think that informs us as well. For those of us who are women, it's helpful. For those of us who are not women, if you're a man, it helps you to see a new perspective on conversation. Just like for women, it's good, helpful for us to see a male conversation with God. We learn and we grow from each other, and it's helpful to us. So tonight we're going to look at two women. We're going to look at sisters Martha and Mary. So we have chairs up here. One is for Martha and one is for Mary. Now, I'm going to ask two women just to come, and the chairs are comfortable, just to hang out up here. You can bring your notes and piece of paper, pen, whatever. But I just need two volunteers, one person to be Martha. Thank you so much. If you'll be Martha and you want to be Mary over here, that'd be fantastic. So give it up for our wonderful volunteers. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And you don't have to do anything other than sit there and smile and be friendly. So we're looking at Martha and Mary, and I like them, and this is conversations with God a la Jesus, right? Jesus is God. In case that's not clear to you, you can check it out in Philippians 2. He became flesh, dwelt among us. He is God as though he were not man. He is man as though he were not God. This is incarnation. If you need the theology, that's another discussion altogether. So, but for tonight's purposes, we're just looking at conversations a la with Jesus, a la God. So Martha and Mary, and the first place we read about them is in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. You can look on your notes because I have it all typed out for you. And you can see there, we have both women sitting, talking, engaging with Jesus. Martha not so much sitting, Mary not so much talking, but they're both there interacting with Jesus. And in these verses, it says, Martha, they invited Jesus to come have dinner at their house. Now, just a little quick background. This family has, that we know of, three siblings, Martha, Mary, and they have a brother named Lazarus. We'll read about him after a little bit. But they have Jesus for dinner. And the first time he comes over for dinner, Martha's really screwed into the roof on it. She's uptight. She's nervous. Jesus is coming for dinner. And if Jesus were coming to your house for dinner, how many of you might be a little bit nervous about that? Right? We need to clean the house. And I've told you what our secret is. We have a junk box and everything on the, all the clutter on the counter. If you're one of the special guests, unless you get treated like everybody else, you come over to our house and we'll clear off all the clutter on the counter, throw it in a box, and hide it in a closet somewhere. And hopefully you won't be looking in the closets to see how many of those clutter boxes are stacked up from the last 6 to 10 guests. It's a good strategy. Makes us look like we're very, you know, non-cluttery, but we are really are cluttery. So Martha is nervous. Jesus is coming over for dinner, and Mary's not doing anything. And so I love this because I think, and what I want to point out today is we got Martha on one side, and we have Mary on the other side, and both of them have, and here's what I really want you to grab here, both of them have a viable relationship with Jesus. Different. Not better, not worse, both viable, both necessary, and both distinct. So when you look at the very first time, the very first conversation in Luke 10, verse 40, it says here, Martha was distracted with all her preparations and came up to Jesus and said, and here's the thing, prior to that, we read about Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. So Martha comes up to Jesus and is upset because Mary's not doing anything. Mary is just sitting on her butt, twiddling her thumbs, listening to Jesus. And just so you know this, back in this era, women, the posture of sitting at somebody's feet, at a teacher's feet, was a position that only men took. It was very male-dominated, and women, I'm sorry, but and you may not like this, I get it, but the mindset for women was pregnant, barefoot in the kitchen. That was kind of the mindset at that time. You're like, well, that's just whatever. I get it. We live in the 21st century. We live on a different continent. Okay, duly noted. However, Martha's upset because Mary is acting like she can sit at Jesus' feet and not do anything with all the other guys and listen to Jesus teach and open up the scriptures and illuminate for all these men who are sitting there. And Mary is her sister, right? So we got all this stuff going on. We got historical, traditional, gender role models. We have all this stuff. Say nothing of the fact that they're blood relatives. We don't know who's older or who's younger, but if you have an older sister or younger sister, how many know there's a pecking order in that? The little sister, the big sister. I mean, how does that play out? Michelle, any suggestions on that? Like, that's a really interesting adventure. So Martha has her conversation with Jesus. And I really find this fascinating. The very first time we read about her having a conversation with Jesus, it's not smooth and soft and delicate and gentle and polished, politically correct. She's given Jesus a what to and here for. Dude, what do you think you're doing here? She needs to be moving. She's messing up. And I just think that's a little bit of an irony. She's telling Jesus how to do this, you know, like seriously. But she feels comfortable expressing her opinion and being really strong and telling Jesus. At this point, she doesn't know he's the Son of God. He hasn't risen Lazarus or brother. She doesn't really know. She knows he's important, but she's given him an earful. Now, if you come over to my house, I'm not going to give you an earful. I mean, you can hang out. Mi casa es su casa. I mean, we're real relaxed and chilled at my house. But she clearly is not relaxed and chilled. This is a little side note. If you come over to our house, Reese is not as relaxed and chilled as I am. He's not in the room, but he might watch later. Anyways, so the conversation. She's giving him an earful. And I appreciate what Jesus does, because it's a conversation, it's dialogue, it's back and forth. So what happens is, Lord, don't you care, verse 40, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me. Classic, right? I'm busy, we're achieving important things here. We've got stuff to do, dishes to wash, hummus to grind, we gotta make tzatziki sauce. We need to get the pitas out of the oven. We got stuff going on here. She can't be wasting all this time. It's an earful. You can hear it, right? And I love what Jesus does back. Lord answers her, Martha, Martha. Hey, honey. Can you just dial that back a couple notches? We need to get you like some chill pill. Let's take a Valium. Okay, not quite. That's a little too far. But Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. You got your undies way too tight. We need to kind of loosen that up and just relax a little bit. But only one thing, you're like, Sarah, that's just irreverent, kind of. But only one thing is necessary. I love that. One thing. Mary has chosen the good part, and it won't be taken away from her. In this conversation, you see, I like this conversation because I feel like it expresses Martha's personality. And some of us in the room, some of us watching online, we relate to Martha. We're the get after it, get it done, let's achieve, let's get things rolling here. We got places to go, people to see, things to do. We don't have time to be sitting around and wasting being all mamby-pamby. Let's get rolling. Anybody relate to that? Right. And I appreciate that Jesus isn't, it doesn't put him off. He's not like, oh my gosh, why can't you just grow up and be different? Why can't you be like her? Right? Have you ever heard that in your own mind, or maybe you've said it to somebody? But I really like in this conversation, Jesus is back and forth with her. Hey, look, I can tell you're really upset, but I just want to tell you that there's one thing that's necessary. The hummus, it'll take care of pita, fine. Okay, the plates are a little dirty. Not the end of the world. We talked about bed bugs and they're getting married in the spring. It'll be fine. It'll be totally fine. I know, we just had to do that a little bit. But I like that Jesus isn't put off by some of our personality. Are you tracking with me? And I really appreciate, too, that she's given Jesus an earful trying to make her do something different. And I want you to appreciate that Jesus, in so many words, defends her. She doesn't say word one. And you got to know, I guarantee you, in this classic sister dialogue, growing up together, you got to know they went back and forth at it with each other because they're very different people. But she doesn't have to step up and, yeah, but you're always trying to make me. There wasn't any of that. Jesus stood in the middle and said, yeah, I understand that you're upset, but I want to coach you on this too. Because what she's doing is a good thing, and I want to coach you so that you do a good thing too. And so he enters and participates in the conversation, and he does it along the lines of our personality. So that's the first conversation that we read between Jesus and Martha. The second conversation, you'll see here on your notes, as you roll down here, is in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44, is another, the second conversation. And at this point, and it says it in verse 5, it says that Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. And the backstory on this is Lazarus is really sick. Jesus is off somewhere in some remote village. And Lazarus is super sick, so Martha and Mary send a messenger to Jesus and say, hey, come, the one you love is sick. And Jesus, off in this remote village, decides to stay there for a couple extra days just to make sure the guy isn't just sick, but he's good and sick and really dead. Like, he intentionally lets Lazarus die because he's off here in a village. So when he decides to finally come, Lazarus is really fully dead. Rigor mortis is set in. I mean, it's bad. He's probably swollen and stinks. So Jesus shows up on the scene, and we get conversation number 2. And in this conversation, I'd invite you, if you can, flip in your Bibles to John chapter 11, verses 20 to 28. Because this happens again between Martha and Jesus. And I like what you see happens here. We don't see a lot of conversation with Mary up to this point. You see more conversation with Martha. And I want to say this. Sometimes, for some of us, our personalities are more expressive, more communicative. We talk a lot more. My dad could talk, oh my goodness. I remember as a little girl, he could talk He would talk to, like, he could talk to a marble statue. You know, he would just talk to anything and everyone and all the time. And I would see people, he'd go in these art galleries, and I'd see the guys who own the art galleries. Oh, my gosh. You could see him roll their eyes because it's him again. Because he would just talk. And he'd talk, he literally would say this, "I know, I just talked your ear off." I'm like, "Yeah, two ears. We needed to leave 30 minutes ago because he was rolling his eyes when you walked in." That's what I was thinking as a little girl. So some of us, we talk a lot. We talk a lot. And I would say that Martha is kind of the person that talks a lot. And there's nothing wrong with that. On the other side, some of us don't talk very much. And you'll see here in this story, Mary, she doesn't talk very much. And you don't see Mary talking too much. So her conversations are going to be a little bit more probably listening a lot, paying attention. And you'll see here in a little bit, she's fairly emotional, quite emotional, actually. Nothing wrong with that either. And I want to bring out these differences because your personality, my personality, in these differences in our personalities, it doesn't make our conversation with God less, better, worse, declined, better. You know, we cannot let our personalities qualify and say, well, that's better or that's worse. Your personality, you are wonderfully and fearfully made. That your soul knows very well, Psalms 139. And so, yeah, can you grow and can you change? Yeah, maybe you need to not talk as much. Maybe you need to talk a little bit more. But I want to say that in your conversations with God, don't let your personalities taint and say, well, you know, I'm not worthy, or I'm this, or put down, or sometimes other people go the other way where there's so much pride. Oh, well, I'm all that in a bag of chips. I know God is waiting and eager to spend time with me, because look at what all I've, you know, all this stuff. So I think sometimes our personalities, we can get tripped up a little bit with our personalities. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Does that make sense to you? Because again, some of us who are super smart, like we're just brilliant off the charts, and we can do numbers, and we can do whatever language, smart in all these ways. And then some of us are not so smart in those ways. Maybe we're smart in different ways, but we don't see it that way. And so what happens is I think the enemy comes in and tries to cut our legs out based on our personalities and say, disqualify you and say, oh, you talk too much, you don't talk enough, you're too emotional, you're not emotional. And we get all that enemy accusing, condemning, lying to us. And then we stop talking. We stop having conversations. And that's what the enemy wants to do, is stop the conversation and isolate you and pull you away from God. But I like that in the conversation with Martha, they send for Jesus in John chapter 11, and Martha keeps talking with Jesus, even though Jesus basically told her the first time, hey, you got the wrong priorities. You need to kind of reshuffle some things here. There's one thing. You need to switch up your priorities. She wasn't offended. She wasn't put off. She didn't feel rejected or dispelled by Jesus, excluded by Jesus. In fact, the next time they had a crisis, their brother's dying, they send for Jesus, and she goes out. When she hears that Jesus is coming, she goes out to meet him. Sweet. Clearly, she was not offended by that first conversation. She wasn't like, oh my gosh, he just cut my legs out. How dumb is that? He should have berated her and applauded me because I was... She didn't do any of that. She continued the conversation, continued the relationship, and really had some high stakes. The death of her brother was really going what was going on. So when she talks with Jesus, and this is, again, verses 20 through 28, it's a nice conversation. She goes out to meet him, verse 20, and Mary stayed home. Now that's interesting. Why did Mary stay home and Martha went out? It's possible that Martha could have been more of an extrovert, Mary more of an introvert. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to push the meaning that far, but it's possible. Verse 21, Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. And Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. So I want you to picture this. Martha comes out. She's outside of Bethany, the village where they live. She meets up with Jesus, and they have this dialogue. Hey, if you'd been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And I think Jesus is like, yeah, that's my point. I wasn't trying to heal him. I got a bigger goal in mind. But he doesn't necessarily say that right out of the gate. But they have this conversation. Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I believe that, Martha says. I know, yeah, absolutely, resurrection on the last day. And they're having a nice discussion. How many of you would like to have that kind of a relationship with Jesus where you can just sit down and have a chit-chat? Anybody? Oh, my, I'm all on that page. So even, and I want you to appreciate this, even in the midst of loss, in the midst of grief, her brother's dead. Her brother's been dead for 4 days. And in the midst, in the very thick and heart and heat of grief, all kinds of loss and the feeling of it all, the immensity of it, she's not going to, and this is, but she still has a conversation. And I want to bring that out to you because sometimes we go through seasons in our lives where there's tremendous loss. It can be the death of a person. It can be the loss of a job. It can be a struggle in a relationship. It can be a loss of health. I mean, there's all kinds. But the conversation, you can still, in the midst of that, still have some rich, phenomenal conversations with Jesus. Because that's exactly what happens here. So Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Martha, yeah, okay. He's going to rise again at the resurrection on the last day. Then Jesus says, verse 25, I am the resurrection. He gives her a sneak peek. Hey, I'm going to give you an inside track. And I want us to appreciate that in the midst of all of this tension, we can get to know, we can have an experience, we can come to have a conversation, know Jesus deeper and better than we have before. Because he reveals himself to her. I am the resurrection. It's not just that Lazarus will be raised. I am. He identifies. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am resurrection. And in this conversation, Martha comes to know Jesus, and I want you to appreciate this. She decides to leave everybody, leave the home, leave all that. Mary does not. Mary doesn't have this conversation. In fact, you'll see here in a moment, Mary misses out in some respects. We'll see why. So Jesus keeps going. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives, believes in me, will never die. Do you believe this? I like the dialogue. They're going back and forth. I love the conversation. I love that it's in the middle of a horrible time. I love that Jesus shows up and says, hey, I can appreciate you're going through a difficult season, but I just want you to know, I'm resurrection. Nothing's impossible with me. I understand. And he's dead and in the grave and stiff. But I'm still resurrection. I still got possibilities here that you probably haven't even thought of. So she says, yes, Lord, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, even the one who comes into the world. So this is interesting. And this conversation is very, very, she walks away, I think, having this sense of, wait a second, I think Jesus has something bigger going on here. And in those conversations with God, I want to encourage you that you let God blow your mind. Let God blow out what's possible. Impossible, I don't think God, that's part of God's vocabulary, is impossible. We have it because we're finite. But I think she walks away like, whew, that was really fascinating. I think something's going on here bigger than what I anticipated. So she goes and she finds Mary. And over here, she comes to Mary and says, hey, secretly, the teacher, verse 28, the teacher is calling for you. And when Mary heard it, just stay here, she got up quickly and was coming to Jesus. So that conversation finished, but it was very, quite extensive conversation. So now Mary pops up and she comes and runs out to find Jesus. And when she gets there, verse 32, it says, therefore, when Mary came to where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet. Well, the last time we saw Mary, she was also at Jesus' feet, right? She's sitting at his feet listening to him teach. So she's got this foot thing going for Jesus, whatever that means. So she falls at his feet, and this is what she says. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Feels like Pete and repeat, right? Because Pete said it over there. Now she's repeating it. And he's like, yeah, okay. So she falls at his feet. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping at his feet, and the Jews also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit. The conversation that happens, you see the conversation with Martha and Jesus. There's a lot more dialogue to it. But the conversation that happens here, Mary comes, finds Jesus, falls at his feet, weeping. She's unraveled, family. When you look this up in the Greek, weep, this word weep, this isn't like kind of that misty little tear thing, a little drop here and there. This is that gut-wrenching, wailing and moaning. It's grief. I mean, if you've ever heard somebody in the throes of grief and the intensity of it, that's how she's crying. So this conversation, and I appreciate that this conversation is messy. I mean, she's a hot mess. And I love the contrasts. I love the contrast because I in my opinion, it expresses the differences in personality. She's unraveled. She is a mess. She's slobbering. Her nose is running. The stuff is everywhere. She's crying. She's completely lost it. She's unraveled. She's at his feet. And I think she's angry. She's upset. She's hurt. She's disappointed. She's sad. She picked the whole spectrum of all of it. And she's messy. And she says, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. It's not that same. If you wouldn't have been, it's different. How many of you see the difference, the contrast? And I love that this is equally a viable conversation, every bit as much as that. You can have this kind of conversation with Jesus every bit as much as you can have that kind of conversation. And if this is more your style, never say that that's less than, I wish I had more composure, I wish I was more put together, I wish I was more like her. No, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. This is who you are. This is, celebrate this, because you've got stuff in you that she doesn't have, and she's got stuff in her that you don't have, and both are viable, both are essential, both are necessary, and we can have the conversations with Jesus in our distinct, unique personalities, and it doesn't disqualify us. Her conversation was every bit as viable as that. And it was who she is, and she's unraveled. And you don't see Jesus like, oh, honey, put a cork in that. Are you kidding me? Whew. In fact, you see Jesus enter into this with her because he is moved. And I appreciate that the conversation is emotional in nature. It's everybody's falling apart. Everybody's blowing their nose. Everybody's crying and dripping and snot running everywhere. And Jesus is in the midst of all of that. He's in the thick of it. And he doesn't hold out a hanky and say, "Woof, get yourself together." He's not doing that. He's in the thick. So he has a conversation over here, and he has a conversation here. It looks different, but they're equally viable. No matter who you are, no matter how you're wired up, you might be, and I appreciate, Reese and I are very different. Reese is more of a thinker, and he's logical, and he'll say analytical, and he'll give you details and the pluses and minuses, pros and cons. He'll walk through all that structure and strategy, and I'm not always that way. And so he tries to solve feelings. I feel, and I feel strongly and deeply, and then it's deep, and then I can't hardly express myself. I can't find words for it. And he's like, well, you just need to do-do-do-do-do. I'm like, you need to-do-do-do-do. Can you feel it? Right? You can hear the whole thing. And I appreciate that he's fearfully and wonderfully made, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and each of us are unique and distinct in Jesus, and Jesus loves us. And the conversations can happen no matter how you're wired up. How many of you are tracking with me? So you're like, well, that's an interesting conversation. Mary has that. And at the end of this dialogue, what happens is Jesus says, Where did you put Lazarus? And Martha helps him. Well, I'll show you where he is. But Lord, and this is like the King James Version, he stinketh. I love it. It says in verse 39, Jesus says, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of Lazarus, says, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. Classic. the cleaning, cooking, achieving, you know, we got to make sure all the I's are dotted, T's are crossed, we'll do this all right. He's going to smell really bad. This is pretty, I like that she's worried about the stench. And Jesus is like, I got a bigger issue going on here than stench. And it says he calls him out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus raises from the dead after being dead for 4 days. Four stinking days. This isn't like clear in the paddles. And, you know, like we jolt people. Clear! That's not what that is. This is 4 days, stone cold dead. And Jesus raises him from the dead. How many of you know, she was probably like, everybody's teeth were on the ground. That's not what we had in mind. We thought you were going to heal. And Jesus is like, yeah, buddy. I was going to raise from the dead, not do that healing thing. And I love that Jesus will go way beyond. No, And can you imagine? Here's Martha and Mary, and here's their brother hopping out in those little, like, grave clothes. And Jesus is like, untie him. Okay. What? I mean, just the sheer shock of the whole thing. I think they were at that point speechless. I think the conversations had kind of, what do you say to that? I mean, just kind of, whoop, okay. You win. You're Jesus. You're the Lord of Lords. You are the resurrection. Oh my gosh, you really are the resurrection. That's amazing. So that's the second conversation. First conversation, Jesus comes for dinner. Second conversation, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Third conversation is in John chapter 12. Again, Jesus is over for dinner. And I love this conversation. Again, very unique. So flip over on the back, or here it says John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. The context, verse 2, it says, they made him supper. And guess what Martha's doing? What does it say on your notes? Martha is serving. Cha-ching. True to form, true to personality. And Jesus isn't giving her an earful. Because he's like, yeah, that's how you're wired up. I get it. Nothing wrong with that. You need to serve. You want to serve. Fantastic. I'm still over for dinner because clearly you got some good pie working here, like blueberry pie or chicken pot pie, because we're coming all on the 27th for pie night. Another little side note. So Martha is serving. Lazarus is reclining. And look at verse 3. Mary took a pound of very costly perfume, anointed. What did Mary anoint? The feet. She's doing feet again. She's sitting at his feet. She's falling at his feet. And now she is anointing his feet. She's got this whole foot thing going. And Martha doesn't have the foot thing going. Martha's got the serving thing going. Everybody's got their unique little distinctions. And I like it. I think it's fantastic. Unique and fearfully, wonderfully made. Nothing wrong with that. So she's at his feet, anointing his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. I think this is a really powerful communication from Mary to Jesus. And I think if you can use your imagination a little bit, this is the second meal that they've had Jesus. By this point, that Jesus is a close friend and close enough where Martha's going to keep serving. Okay, that's fine. She doesn't have to be somebody that she's not. At the same way, Mary, and I think if you watch the progression with Mary, she's listening to him as a teacher the very first time that we see the conversation, interaction. The second time, she's a hot mess, and she falls at his feet. We never see her get up. The Bible doesn't. All we know is that she fell at his feet and completely emotionally a wreck. I don't know if she ever saw her brother, like, hopping out of the grave. Martha did. We know Martha did. But we don't know if Mary did or not. But I love her tender, sweet availability and her vulnerability. She takes the expensive perfume. super expensive, anoints his feet, and she's weeping. Again, she's emotional. She's very emotional. And her conversations are going to be emotional in nature. And for some of us who are emotionally wired up, sometimes it's hard for us to find words. I find for myself, I find when my emotions are really, really intense, I have a really hard time finding words. I don't know all that, but she's very emotional, and she's weeping, and then she's drying his feet with her hair. Perfect. Thank you for doing this. You're the right person in the right time. With her hair, right? I mean, she's got, Mary has long hair. Appropriate. And so I'm just going to ask you this. Do you like your long hair?
I do.
Is it like something that's really kind of proud of it?
Definitely.
And so would you be eager to use your hair to wipe somebody's feet?
If it was Jesus, yeah.
But not really, right? I mean, seriously.
Yes, seriously, no.
So, I mean, like, if I whip off my shoes and socks and I start putting my feet around your hair, how's that going to make you feel?
No, just no.
That's a bad idea, right? Even though I took a shower and they're really clean and the socks are clean too. But Jesus, you know, you got to think about him. He's wearing flip-flops and he's walking in dirt and, you know, there's camels and donkeys and, you know, kind of stuff. Residue from those animals. And maybe he washed his feet when he came in the house, you know, but that's a possibility. And all of that, you're using your hair to dry his feet. How would that make you feel?
A little odd.
And maybe a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So if you were doing that, would you do that out of love?
Yes. I would have to love him a whole lot.
That would be like sacrificial love.
Definitely.
And it wouldn't be something where you'd be like kind of halfway or like, maybe that's kind of a good idea, maybe partially.
Oh, no, that's an all-in type of deal.
So, I mean, like, because this is a big deal. Yeah. How long did it take you to grow your hair this long?
About like 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Right, 5 or 6 years, and it takes time and effort to keep it beautiful.
Yes.
So putting it on stinky, smelly feet is not, it's kind of like contrary to everything, how you're wired up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be major, major love.
Definitely.
So appreciate Mary, right? We didn't plan this at all,
no.
Right? This was like super spontaneous, I know. Woohoo! Way to go, Jesus! But I love it because this is a form of conversation. It's a communication. It's her giving her all. It's her pouring out her love for Jesus. And you don't see the words in it necessarily. And I think that's an important part of communication. Is sometimes it's emotional. And sometimes it's just this total abandon. I give it all, 100%. I'm all in. You got everything. You got even my hair, which people see and I'm proud of, and it's beautiful on me. And I look, and I'm even willing to use the most beautiful piece of me that demonstrates beauty and use that to dry your feet. That's a rich conversation, family. And appreciate that what happens is she does this expression. I mean, that's a pouring out of love that's very rare. You don't see that too often. Like, really don't. And I like what happens because, again, here's Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, falling at his feet, now anointing his feet, and this is what happens. Verse 4, Judas Iscariot. Ugh, right? Here we go with Judas. One of the disciples who was intending to betray Jesus, right? Jerk. He says, why was a perfume? So now Judas is accusing her. Why is a perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He didn't say this because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief and he was stealing the money. So Judas is accusing her. You know, we could have used this money in a lot better way. This was a complete waste. And I love what Jesus does. So not only does Jesus, in some respects, defend Mary when Martha did the thing, you know, get her off her butt, make her help me, now Jesus is defending her again. Defending her against this accuser. And Jesus says in verse 7, leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you're the poor with you always, but you don't always have me. And I appreciate that Jesus defends. She's vulnerable. She's transparent. She's poured out her love. And in that moment of complete emotional, I'm giving everything, here's Judas. And I want us to appreciate that sometimes people accuse us. They misunderstand. They might be angry. They might have their own selfish motives. But never let that undermine, undercut, or compromise your love for Jesus. Jesus has your back. Jesus will defend and protect and honor you. He did that. He backed off Judas. Dude, zip it already. Stop with that stuff. She's doing the right thing. And she may not have always got it right. She probably didn't get it all right on the Lazarus thing. But her conversations were valid. And they give us insight into distinct, unique personalities every bit as much as Martha. Martha was every bit as valuable. The conversations, the dialogue, who Jesus is. We get to see from that conversation some very unique insights into Jesus. And unique and valid expression of her personality, and the same way with Mary. And so my point on all this is, again, you're unique. You're distinct. And can you grow? Absolutely. We're always trying to grow and get better and not be the same. Hopefully I'm improved and mature and better than I was 5 years ago. And I hope to be better in 5 years in the future. So it doesn't cut out growing and learning. But valuing that you're important, how you communicate, how you converse, how God talks back in that dialogue, back and forth, the communication, and being aware of that, that's a good thing. And it's okay. I'm not Pastor Frieda. Pastor Frieda's not me. I'm not Diane. Diane's not me. I'm not Melissa. Melissa's not me. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. You're valuable. You're unique. Who you are is magnificent. And your conversation, distinct, unique way of communicating with Jesus is valuable, important, essential. So never let the enemy cut your legs out and say less than, accuse you and deceive you and minimize and push you down and condemn you. That's the enemy trying to cut off the communication. So as you look at the backside of your notes here, there's a couple of takeaways I want you to think about. Number one, your personality doesn't prevent nor accentuate the conversation possibilities with Jesus. Your personality is not an obstacle for communicating with Jesus. You're wonderfully made. Number two, the dialogue and conflict and tension. Appreciate that when Lazarus was dead, Jesus' voice and words can cut through the tension and the emotion. The dialogue he had with Martha, the presence he had with Mary, it cut through all that tension. And we go through seasons in life that have massively intense, and it's just like overwhelming. But Jesus' voice and words can cut through that, and you can have conversations in the midst of that tension and stress and crisis. And then number three, keep loving Jesus no matter what's happening in life or what he says or doesn't say to you. Keep loving Jesus. And I think that Mary personifies that ongoing love. Clearly, she was very disappointed that Jesus didn't show up in time to heal Lazarus. But she still continued to love him. And she poured out magnificent, fragrant, opulent love. And so when we communicate, have conversations with Jesus, let's keep love as a ground zero foundation for that conversation, ongoing communication. So I'd like for you to close your eyes and to bow your heads tonight. And I just want to take a moment and ask, how many of you have sometimes your personality can feel like a hurdle or an obstacle in a conversation with God? How many of you have ever had that struggle? If you're watching online, same thing. Look, sometimes my personality, I feel like I'm too quiet, or I talk too much, or I'm too expressive, I'm not expressive enough, too emotional. How many of you have ever had that struggle in your conversation, communication with God? All right, I appreciate the honesty. So I just ask all of you in the room, also online, just put your hand on your heart and pray for each of us. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You're the Spirit of truth, and you lead us into truth. I pray, Holy Spirit, that whenever the enemy brings in lies and accusations and deceptions, Holy Spirit, I pray that your presence and words would be stronger than the deception and accusation. I pray, Holy Spirit, that your truth would be louder, resound stronger than any deception. And I pray now, Romans 5:5, that you would pour out the love of God into our hearts so that we would walk in love, love ourselves, love the people around us, love God. I pray, Holy Spirit, as we sleep tonight, that your love would pour into us, and we wake up knowing your love more than we ever have before, feeling, sensing that. I pray, Holy Spirit, as we communicate with you, you communicate with us, that we grow closer and closer. We know you better, and we know ourselves better by being close to you. Thank you for helping us live in the fullness of your design, who you've made us to be in our unique personalities. Thank you for doing this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my friends, Sunday, Reese is on. It's going to be super fantastic and amazing. This gentleman right here, you have on a striped shirt. I have a verse I'd like to give you. Can we do sidebar at the end? Is that all right? And Tyler, same thing at the end? Great. We'll catch you Sunday. It's going to be a fantastic Sunday, and we love your guts. Don't forget to thank Martha and Mary for helping us tonight, and we'll see you Sunday. Thanks again.